You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Well, that was good for a man. Remain standing. Let's give Jesus a hand this morning. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise. Hallelujah. How many of you love him this morning? Let's lift our hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your power that's in this house this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who can do the impossible. That there is nothing impossible with you, and there's nothing hard for you. So, Lord, whatever it was that's tried to harass your people before today, we rebuke it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we declare that by the time this week comes to an end, we will hold our testimonies in our hand in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe that, somebody shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated today. If you appreciate this worship team, would you give them a hand? Tell them you love them. What a great job. Phenomenal. It's great to have anointed praise and worship. Amen. Listen, I've been to some churches where the praise and worship was not anointed. You know, it's rough when after the worship set, you're battling suicidal thoughts. You know, that's a problem. It's so good to be here. Pastor was just reading, I guess, from the bio on our website. And I've moved here within the last year. God spoke to us to come and begin to travel from this greater Fort Lauderdale area. We're living over in the Parkland area. And God, out of the blue, spoke to my wife and I. We were in Virginia Beach for 15 years and traveling as evangelists from that area. And I was driving to a meeting by myself one night from Pittsburgh to Rochester, New York, just praying in the Holy Ghost. And I heard the Lord say, it's time to pack up and move. I said, well, Lord, I don't have any reason to move. I said, I got my family in Virginia. I got my house here and my church here. And I said, I got nobody's asking me to move. I said, there's no reason to go. He said, I'm telling you to go. What I found out is that even if there's nothing in the natural that looks like a reason why, if God said to do it, it's the best thing you could ever do. Can you say amen? And I love it. We've been here and it's been such a blessing. And such a peaceful thing. When you do what God tells you to do, there's peace in it. There's joy in it. There's strength in it. Amen. And so I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this week. I spent last week, we're in Atlanta, Georgia, preaching a revival and miracles taking place. I mean, amazing to see God instantly healing people supernaturally and by his power. You know, the same God that was healing in the Bible days is still healing today. Still delivering today. And it's exciting. So I left and Friday night we finished the final revival and I drove straight to the airport and I flew out early, 2 hours of sleep next morning. And to get back here, I preached yesterday morning in West Palm Beach at 11 a.m. I got there just in time. Hallelujah. I had to push that pedal a little bit from the airport to get where my next meeting was. But it's wonderful. We saw people coming from all around this region yesterday that joined with a hunger in their heart to see God's Spirit move. Can I tell you? Millennials. Those that this nation says are not hungry for the things of the Spirit. Can I tell you, we had a room of almost 400 millennials packed in there praising God till sweat was coming down their face. And then when we gave the altar call, we saw dozens and dozens of them coming to give their hearts to Jesus. And you know what we saw yesterday, which I love to see? Have you noticed that this generation has been attacked by depression and anxiety? Anybody notice it? You know, I was watching the news and you can just see how the devil is doing his best to attack this generation. How many saw Kate Spade committed suicide? Days after that, nationally known chef Anthony Bourdain hung himself in a hotel. Shows you money's not the answer. Shows you riches is not the answer. You can have millions in the bank and still struggle in your mind. But without the power of God in your life, there is no joy for living. And I begin to see how the enemy is doing his best to try to put that spirit of depression on this generation before Jesus comes. And you know what I found out? It's not because he wants to steal your laughter. It's because he wants to steal your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. Something good's about to happen. And the Bible tells us that in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Every one of us need the strength of God to do what we're called to do. We need the joy of the Lord to accomplish our purpose. Can you say amen? And I'm so happy. I just got back not long ago from, I was in Kingston, Jamaica. I was in Portmore preaching a convention with my dear friend, Dr. Delford Davis, Power of Faith Ministries. And the Lord's put it on my heart. The Caribbean is on my heart. I spent time there as a young boy, lived in Kingston 8. And saw mighty miracles taking place in Jamaica. But the Lord has put those nations of the world on my heart to see revival come and to see people changed. And we're taking a step of faith this year to do something we've never done. And we're getting ready to go on television in every island in the Caribbean and to see the power of God touch those nations. And then I'm going to go back and begin to hold crusades by the power of God in these nations and see thousands come to Jesus. Amen. How many will believe God's going to bring a revival to the nations of the world? But I believe God's going to do something right here in Pembroke Pines. Can you say amen? How many received one of these when you came in today, one of these cards? I want you to take a few of them before you leave. And we're going to pray over these before you go and believe God. Now, let me ask the question. How many that are sitting here in the room this morning, you know at least 2, 3, 4, 5 people that need Jesus? If your hand's not up, we got to get you out of the house more. But we all know somebody that needs the power of God. I want to use this as a point of contact to invite somebody. Say, hey, would you come with me this week? God's doing wonderful things, and we'd love you to be a part of it. Bring them to where the anointing is moving and watch as the power of God changes their life. Do you know, just I'll give you a quick testimony about how this works. See, because God's going to use every one of you to bring a generation to Jesus. I was preaching in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and I was preaching a youth camp at the time. And the Lord had me ministering on that subject of joy. And I had laid hands on everybody in the building. But the Lord said, you're not done. He said, see this young man standing by the front? Go down and rebuke a spirit of depression off of his life and command him to be made free. Well, I looked at the young man. He didn't look depressed. He looked like a high school football player, popular. You know, he was clean cut, standing there, you know, looking all good. And I went, well, he said, I don't go by how we look. We go by what the Holy Spirit said. I laid hands on him. I said, I command depression to leave you in Jesus' name. Now, as I'm laying hands on this boy, he's about 17. He's standing there, and all of a sudden, he starts to shake. I mean, he's shaking. And all of a sudden, have you ever left a tea kettle on the stove too long, and all of a sudden you hear that whistling, and you hear that, and it starts screaming? That's what happened to him. He went, like that, and he starts screaming. And all of a sudden, in the Holy Ghost, he took off dancing across the altar. Now, I'll tell you that how I knew that was the Holy Ghost, because there was pretty girls standing all around. And I ain't no 17-year-old boy going to make a fool of himself dancing in the Holy Ghost if it's not the Holy Ghost. He started dancing all over that church, and he got set free. Well, I went to talk to him at the end of the service to get his testimony. He said, man, you don't even understand. He said, I don't. It was a group of churches that had come together to do the camp. He said, I don't go to any of these churches. He said, the only reason I'm here, he said, my parents had left town. He said, I was so depressed that I had gone into my father's room and found his handgun, loaded it, racked one in the chamber, and had the barrel against my temple. And he said, as I went to pull the trigger, my cell phone buzzed. He said, it was my friend from this church. And he said to me, hey man, you want to go to this youth convention with me? And he said, you know what? I will do one more thing before I take my life. I'll have a fun week with my friend and kind of say goodbye to those that I love. And when I come home from this camp, I'm going to take my life. See, but the devil didn't realize that was his last opportunity to kill that young man. Because in God's presence, there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And the power of God touched him that morning and set him free and put him on a new track in life. Amen. See, that's how God, that young man that text him didn't realize the text I'm about to send is going to save his life. But see, God anoints us. We don't know what people are going through. We don't know what people are dealing with, but we do know the presence of God can change their life forever. So I'm setting my faith that this week of meetings, course, we have services tonight at 7 and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're believing, God, that this week of meetings will be a week that people are supernaturally set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you shout amen? So take a few of these and don't invite Billy Graham, who just went home to be with the Lord, said this powerful. I never heard anybody bring this kind of a attention to this, but he said, you know, in all of our crusades, throughout my whole ministry, 60 some years of preaching, he said, it wasn't TV that brought people to Jesus. It wasn't billboards. It wasn't radio. It wasn't mail outs. He said, you know what it was? It's when believers brought unbelievers into the meetings. He said, that power of personal evangelism changes our world. Amen. So I want to encourage you to be faithful to do that. And this is going to be a week of power. Can you say amen? Before we open up the word, let me just quickly say, we release a free magazine every quarter called Miracle Word Magazine. We have a bunch of copies out on the table. Take one with you when you go home today. And then if you'd like to receive this at your home, absolutely free, all you got to do, there's a card out there that you can sign up with your name and address. We'd be happy to send it to you. No cost to you. Every time it comes out, the reason we do that, number one, we want to build your faith. There's articles in here. My wife, who will be here in the second service with our children, she writes articles in here. Do you know we've had a lot of women writing into our ministry asking questions about life? My wife has gone to the Lord and began to fast and pray. She's been writing what we call real answers for real women in these magazines. And then we like to include miracle testimonies to let you know what Jesus is doing around the world. Recently, I was in southern West Virginia. Look at this beautiful woman here. Her name's Martha. She was addicted to heroin, did heroin every day for years, got in the presence of God, and God set her free from that addiction. She got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm preaching a revival there at her church where she's attending, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, call everybody forward that has issues hearing, that are deaf, hard of hearing, wear hearing aids, and pray for them. Well, she came down in the group. And I was going down the line just praying for people. I came to her. I prayed. She jerked her head. She said, my ear just came open. Well, after the service, I got her testimony, which we included in this magazine. She was born deaf in that ear. Hearing aids could not help her. Nothing that doctors could do. She could not hear. But in one moment in the presence of the Lord, what doctors could not do, the great physician could do. Hallelujah. And we want to include, see, because the Bible, you know, there is a power in your testimony. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, they overcame the spirit of Antichrist by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So there's a power in your testimony that will fight your next battle for you. Oh, hallelujah. I might preach on that one night this week. I feel it already. But your testimony carries the power to overcome. And it's important because it shows unbelievers Jesus is alive. You know, there's no other religion that can do what ours can do. You can be a Muslim, but Allah doesn't answer prayers. Thanks for all the shouts. Amen. Don't everybody run around the church at the same time. Buddha can't do what Jesus does. Allah can't do what Jesus does. Muhammad can't do what Jesus does. Krishna can't do what Jesus does. Shiva can't do what Jesus does. New Age philosophy can't do what Jesus does. Our God is the only true and living God. There's a song we sing when I go to Africa. All the other gods are the works of men. But you are the Most High God. And there is none like you. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. And miracles are proof that he's alive. And the Bible says this in the Gospel of John, chapter 2 and verse 23. Many people believed on his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And do you know that's the power of being filled with the Holy Ghost? The Bible says, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. What's a witness? It's somebody who can produce evidence. There's no lawyer in the world that's going to put a witness on the stand if he doesn't know they can produce evidence. And then he cross-examines the witness and tries to pull and extract some evidence out of him regarding the case. What's the case that we're trying today? Is Jesus alive? And the witness says, let me give you some evidence. If he's alive, the sick will be healed. Those that are addicted will be set free. Those that are depressed will receive joy. Demon-possessed people will become delivered. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say evidence. And so with his power comes evidence. And many believed on his name when they saw the miracles, which he did. And so we like to include those things to just stir up your faith. Because, you know, I quit watching Christian TV a long time ago because I found out much of it is just people trying to sell you pills or exercise plans or diet plans. Hallelujah. I don't need a pill. I got four of them. They're called the Gospel pills. Amen. Don't need a diet plan. I don't need an aerobics plan. I can get that somewhere else. You ever notice Christianity? We try to emphasize the things that aren't powerful to get people that are secular to get into the church. Come to our church, brother. We got great coffee. Come to our church. We have fresh muffins. It's wonderful. You ever notice that? Oh, come to our church. We have lights. But you realize that if you always focus on the secular, there will always be somebody that can do it better than you. If I need coffee, I can go to Starbucks. If I want to see a light show, I can go to Universal Studios. If I want to network, I can go to the mall. But when I need a miracle, there's only one place I can come. And that's the house of God, where the anointing is flowing, where the supernatural spirit of the Most High God's at work. Can you say amen? And we serve a God that is mighty. Somebody say mighty.
Mighty.
And so I want you to see this with me today in John chapter 11, the Gospel of John chapter 11. And in the time I have left, I just want to encourage your faith that we are anointed with a resurrection anointing. Oh my goodness. Every believer has been anointed with a resurrection anointing. What does that mean? It means there is nothing impossible in your life that God cannot do on behalf of your family and your children. Resurrection anointing. Whatever was dead can be brought to life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in John chapter 11, you have the story. Jesus' friend Lazarus was sick unto death, the Bible said. And when Jesus heard the report, your friend Lazarus is sick unto death, he said, good, I'm going to stay where I'm at. Did somebody say, hey, that's your boy. You're not going to go see him? You ain't going to lay hands? Nope, staying right here. And when I studied the story, I began to realize that, you know, as one preacher said, they said, do you believe the Bible? Do you really believe the Bible? He said, brother, I believe the Bible from Genesis to maps. I even believe the maps are true. And when I went into the maps, and you begin to do the study of the geography, do you know where Jesus was compared to where Lazarus was less than 2 miles. He was less than 1.8 miles away. And listen, in my worst day, I can crawl 2 miles quicker than 2 days. Jesus didn't go because it was too far. He was proving a point. See, because in those days you had a religious group of people that believed that somebody wasn't truly dead unless they'd been dead 3 days. They believed that for 3 days, the spirit would hover over the body. And that if you could cut yourself and if you could flagellate and all these, I didn't say flatulate, I said flagellate, is whipping yourself and all the things they would do, religious ceremony and rites, that you could call the spirit back down into the body. So he said, look, because my Father God is a jealous God. Which that don't mean that he's a teenage girl listening to Taylor Swift. It means that he wants all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. He's jealous for it. He said, I'll not share my glory with any man. I'll not share my praise with any man. I want all the glory. So he said, I'm going to stay here because if I go now and work a miracle, that who will get the glory? Will it be their religious rituals that get it? Will it be their flagellation that gets it? They're crying out in a religious way, or will it be God? So I'm going to stay here and let them do what they think they can do. And after man has done everything he thinks he can do, let God show up on the scene and get all the glory for doing something that no man can do. So he stayed where he was. And they did everything they could do. And then they came and told him, it's no use now. Lazarus dead. He said, now I'm coming. Now I'm coming. And he showed up on the scene, and everybody was crying. Everybody's like, oh, Lazarus was such a good guy. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary wouldn't even come out of the house. She said, you go talk to him. I ain't talking to him. He should have been here. Martha came out. Mary was back there cleaning up all the food from the afterwards. She said, he ain't getting no chicken or nothing. I'm throwing it all away. He should have been here. And Martha came out. She's talking to him. Oh, God, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, hold up. Don't you believe your brother's going to rise again? Now she got religious on it. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, chatarabaha. Oh, yes, Lord. I believe he gonna rise again. She started telling him, in the resurrection and in that final day. See, she went and she was dwelling in the past at first. If you would have been here, it's too late now. He's gone now. It's too late. You should have got here sooner. If you'd have got here sooner, something could have been done about this. She was dwelling in the past. But faith don't work in the past. Faith works in the now. See, had Jesus had to reach back and grab her and pull her out of the past and up into the future. And see, she said, if you'd have been here, he said, don't you believe? He's going to rise again. But see, she went too far. She went from the past and jumped out into the future. Well, if you'd have been here, oh, well, he'll rise again in the final day on the resurrection. But see, her issue was she thought that the resurrection was a day on the calendar. She thought the resurrection was some appointment that God made in heaven on his little black book, that there's a prophetic day coming called the resurrection where everybody's going to get up. And Jesus had to straighten her out. He pulled her back from the future into the presence. He said, let me tell you something. You're looking at the resurrection. I am the resurrection and I am the life. The resurrection's not a day. The resurrection's a man. I said the resurrection's not a day. The resurrection's a man. See, because there's coming a day in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says that an angel in heaven will put that trumpet to his mouth and blow a blast on the trumpet. And the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will descend from heaven with a commanding shout. And the dead in Christ will get up out of their graves. Not because it's a day on the calendar, because the resurrection man is coming back to this earth. And when he comes back, the dead have to get up. She said, oh, I believe in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. Who you think you're talking to? I am the resurrection. And I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the light. That's what we told her. I came to show what I can do. Because I am the resurrection. There is a power of resurrection that dwells in every believer. He says, show me where you laid him. You got to identify the problem before you can fix it. There's people that are trying to direct all the attention off the problem. Hope nobody see the problem. I'm into church hiding. They put their church mask on. They're real when they get into the parking lot. They're real at home, real at Walmart. They're a normal person. Hey, what's up, man? Good to see you. Hey, you catch that game last night? And then they come into church. Hallelujah. Pastor asked him to close the service. Father God, we come to thee now and ask thee for thy divine blessing upon the. What in the world? What happened to you? I just saw you right outside. We talked about the Golden State Warriors. You were a normal person. You stepped through the church door and turned into Deacon so-and-so. I don't know what happened. Hallelujah. You imagine going to Walmart and Publix and acting like that? Step up to the deli counter. I would like to have some boarhead ham. Cut it just a little thin because I like to have my meat thin. I came to tell somebody I want some baby Swiss cheese. Cut me about a pound and a half. I feel like having some salami. Touch three people, tell them bologna. they would take your behind to a mental institution. See, God's not looking for religious people. He's looking for real people that carry resurrection power. He's not looking for you to look churchy. He's looking for you to look real with some resurrection power. He wants you to be somebody that can step up in Publix and bless somebody with the power of the Holy Ghost and go on about your business. You don't have to have a clerical collar on. You don't have to have a bishop swagger. Bless you, my son. Hallelujah. Be real. Be real and be full of power. Amen. I said amen. Power from on high. And then he said this. Now, understand, Jesus himself died. Laid down his life. I could get it a whole. I could preach a whole message about the fact that nobody could murder the master. How are you going to murder the master? He's the master. You think they didn't try to kill him before the crucifixion? Bible said he started preaching in the church. People got mad and a group of men formed together, ran him up a hill to the edge of a cliff to push him off to his death. And the Bible said the master just passed through the crowd. How are you going to murder the master? You can't murder him. He said, I have the power to lay down my life, but I also got the power to take it back up again. You can't kill me. I'm uncursable and I'm unkillable. Preached another time. They all picked up stones to stone him. The Bible said they picked him up. How many stones hit him? Not one. You know why? You can't murder the master. Well, the Roman soldiers murdered him. No, they didn't. They didn't murder him. He gave up the ghost. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. They whipped his back. They beat his face till his family couldn't recognize him. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and he's on the cross still talking. Oh, they couldn't take the word out of his mouth. He's still preaching on the cross. He got two thieves next to him. He said, I'm going to tell y'all something. You're going to be with me in paradise today. They beat him till nobody could tell it was Jesus. And they put him on a cross and he's still preaching. See, they didn't realize that they were doing exactly what God wanted to be done. Because he said, if I be lifted up, then I'll draw all men unto me. That's why the Bible said, if the princes of this world had known what they were doing, they would never have crucified our Lord. The devil thought he beat him on that day. But see, the people that people fail to realize back then, Christ is the incorruptible seed. He's the incorruptible seed. And the devil was so foolish. If you got weeds in your garden and you want your garden free from weeds, the last thing you want to do is plant more weed seed. Because that just ensures more weeds are going to grow up. The devil was so stupid. He said, I got to get rid of Christ. I got to get him off this earth. I'm going to kill him. But he was so dumb that he took the seed of God and planted him in the ground. The devil thought he had it hard when he only had one Christ to deal with. But see, there's a harvest that came from that seed, and they're sitting in this church today. They're called Christians, little Christs, that are sitting here because of what Jesus did. And now the devil's got to deal with you instead of just one. He's got millions all over the earth full of the power of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus is the incorruptible seed with resurrection power. Amen. And because he had that power to lay his life down, he also had the power to take it back up again. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And cried out with a loud voice, oh! And gave up the ghost. But watch this. When he shouted, we only have the record in the scripture of Jesus shouting three times, raising his voice. The first time was in front of Lazarus' tomb. And he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Out came a dead man hopping. Why was he hopping? He was still wrapped up in grave clothes. Bible says bound hands and feet. And Jesus had to give one more instruction. Loose him and let him go. There's people come hopping into church every Sunday morning. They're alive. They're on their way to heaven, but they're still wrapped up in grave clothes. Still smoking a pack a day. Still looking at pornography throughout the week. Still sleeping with their girlfriend and boyfriend. Still doing things that are wrapped up in grave clothes. And they've asked God to be their Lord and Jesus to be their Savior, but they still got the old life on. And Jesus had to give you an extra instruction. He said, loose them and let them go. Whatever touched your family before today, it is broken in the mighty name of Jesus. The fire of the Holy Ghost sets us free. Shouted on the cross. Number two, he shouted at Lazarus' tomb. Number two, shouted on the cross. So when he shouted at Lazarus' tomb, what happened? Dead man got up. Shouted on the cross. Cried out with a loud voice. What does the Bible say happened? The earth shook. Read it for yourself. And tombs of holy men and women opened up. They don't preach that anymore. But they didn't get up when Jesus got up. They got up when he went down. And he shouted, and the earth shook, and tombs opened up. And people that they thought were long gone came walking home for dinner. They said, Uncle Harold, where'd you come from? We thought we had you dead and buried. He said, I came to get my chicken. Where y'all at? And number three, he shouts a third time when he descends from heaven. And the same thing that happened at the tomb and the same thing that happened on the cross is the same thing that's going to happen the third time he shouts. Dead people are going to get up, because when the resurrection comes back, he brings the dead to life. And the Bible said he was laying in a tomb, all dead, every organ shut down, no brain activity, heart not beating, pancreas not working, liver and kidneys not functioning, and lungs not taking in air. But the Holy Ghost came into the tomb, and the Bible says that the Holy Ghost from heaven grabbed that dead body and shook it back to life. And the Bible declares now in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. That word quicken means to startle or make alive. Every believer is filled with a life-giving force. Somebody say life-giving force. Every believer is filled with a life-giving force. Let me ask you a question. What business do cancer cells have living in a body that's filled with a life-giving force? What business does type 2 diabetes have staying in a body that is filled with a life-giving force? What demon can tell your pancreas to stop properly producing insulin when you've got a life-giving force that's holding the organs of your body, causing your heart to function normally? Well, brother, you're oversimplifying. If you just understood science and the medical community, people think that you're foolish if you put more stock in the word of God than you do the word of science. But can I tell you something? That the Bible has always carried more wisdom than the scientific community. The Bible said the earth was round when scientists said it was flat. The Bible's the one that told us that the earth was not the center of the universe before science ever found it out. In fact, now doctors are telling us, you may have read articles about it, that many of the diseases that we suffer with in our body are called stress-related illnesses. And now we have high blood pressure, and now we have all these issues that are stress-related. But back before doctors and psychologists ever figured it out, the writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. I came to tell somebody today that the word of God produces life in your body, and no weapon formed against you can prosper. No weapon. Somebody say, no weapon formed against you. See, this thing's real. This is the same power that when my daughter was laid up in a hospital, doctors told me she had a blood disease that would affect her heart for the rest of her life, and she could never play sports or run around with other kids, and she'd have to be on heart medication and go in for checkup after checkup to make sure she was okay. Then I had to say, God, I'm standing in here today, and one of two things is going to happen. Either we're going to have a miracle, or you've lost a preacher, because I'm not going to travel around this world telling people about a God that can heal if I can't even get healing in my own house. Either this thing's real or it's not real. Either the power of God works or it doesn't work. But I made up my mind, let God be true and every man a liar, because the power of his spirit is greater than any attack of the devil. I said it's greater. It's greater. It's greater. It's greater. And resurrection power will wake you up. I said it'll wake you up. It'll shake you back to life. The doctor came into the room. He said, I got to take more tests. I don't know what's going on. Machines started going off. They're pulling blood. I'm fasting and praying. I already pulled the oil out. I already anointed my baby girl. Let me tell y'all something. I grew up in a Pentecostal house where we didn't run to the doctor every time something went wrong. I had parents that pulled the oil out. And just, pow, I got that. I got that when I was 3 years old, too. Huh? Before I even hit puberty, I had full acne up here just from the oil that I had every day. Oh, my God. I had hair that just permanently stood up right there just from being anointed by the power. We didn't run to the hospital. We believe that God's power is sufficient. I'm not condemning people if you've been to the hospital. I'm just saying there's a power. See, what do you do when you get to a doctor and he shakes his head and says, there's nothing else I can do for you. I'm going to send you home, let you say goodbye to your family, call hospice in. What do you do when you get to a place where man can no longer help you? What do you do when there's a problem that no doctor can solve it? No lawyer can get you out of it. No financial planner can figure it out. There's still a power in the word of God that'll break every yoke of bondage over your life. Somebody shout amen. Power of God's real. And it's resurrection life. In fact, our entire relationship with God, this whole religion, it's not complex. It's based on one fact. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, if Jesus didn't really die and he's not really raised from the dead, then my preaching and your faith is in vain. But let me tell y'all something. Jesus is alive. I said Jesus is alive. Now Catholics and Protestants disagree as to where he was buried. Catholics say he was buried in one place. Protestants say he was buried in another place. But you can run down to Home Depot and buy yourself a shovel, get yourself a plane ticket, and fly to both spots and dig till you're blue in the face. But you ain't gonna find any bones today, because Jesus is not in the ground. He got up after 3 days and he ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And I'm telling you, he's coming back very soon. If you believe it, shout amen. I want you to stand on your feet all over this house and lift your hands to heaven. As they come back to the instruments today, I want you to lift those hands and magnify the name that's above every other name. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is greater than any other name. It's greater than cancer. It's greater than diabetes. Greater than arthritis. Greater than glaucoma. Greater than blood disease. Greater than high blood pressure. The name of Jesus is high above every other name. I said it's above every other name. I don't know what it is the enemy's tried to use to destroy your family, to destroy your life. But I came to encourage you today and tell you there is no weapon big enough to take you out. The devil doesn't have the resources to kill you and to stop what God said you would do. He doesn't have what it takes. Because you've got a power working on your behalf. That's greater. That's greater. My sister, can I pray for you? I see the Holy Ghost is on this lady right here. Please step out. The power of God's on you. Just going a few minutes over time because this is more important than getting to the steakhouse. Lift your hands to the Lord. The power of God is on you now. Not only is God touching your family, He's touching your body. And the enemy has tried to steal your strength. He's trying to steal your strength. And you're a young woman. And he's tried to make you feel like an old woman. And tried to attack you in the physical body and still say, oh, just wish there was more hours in a day. Oh, I can't seem to get everything. Today, a fresh strength comes upon you. And your family receives a touch from heaven as well. You've been praying and asking God to touch your family. Touch your family. Touch your family. God said, I heard your cry. Not only am I going to touch your family, I'm going to touch your body. So today, resurrection life goes into your body and touches your family. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her today. Somebody lift your hands and thank the Lord. Power of God. Power of God. Touching every one of us this week. I'm just telling y'all, this is going to be a week of mighty miracles. God's going to do something big in our homes, for our children, for our families. This is our season to be blessed. Don't listen to the lies of this world. Well, things are getting worse and worse. Not for the church. I said not for the church. Not for the church. My sister, you're praising God. Lift your hands. There's a healing anointing on your body right now. There's a healing anointing on your body. Every attack against your body is broken now. Actually, step out in the aisle. Let me lay hands on you. The organs of your body are receiving a touch. The power of God's flowing through you right now. Every attack. I just tell you this, God's even touching your blood right now. God's touching your blood right now. Isn't that what you need? And today, the anointing of God comes into your body and makes you whole. In Jesus' mighty name, strength from heaven comes now. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her. I curse every attack of the enemy that would try to touch your body. I command you be healed. Receive strength from heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody give God thanks and praise. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me. We're coming back in just 30 minutes for a second service. I know we'll be here tonight, 7. Monday through Wednesday at 7. It's going to be a powerful week. Want every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.